Off the Ball, GAA.
Like, they're willing to die for that ball. I said that about Cork for years. They're brilliant hurlers, and I said, when they have that ruthlessness, when you don't have the ball, that this is unbelievable. That now we have a great chance to attack that player that with the ball. Now it's a chance to show Cork people, show myself that, you know, I'm an absolute animal here when I don't have the ball.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The News Round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Good evening and welcome along to Tuesday Nights Off the Ball. It's Owen here with you till 10 o'clock tonight. And coming up, we're going to be speaking to Eamon McGee and Stephen Rochford from 7:30. The big news in second biggest story of the World of Gaelic Games is that Jim McGuinness and David Clifford will face no further suspension. The CCCC has chosen the hands-off approach and there is nothing to see here. Can everybody please move along, I think is the message, as there's going to be no further consequences for what happened in Killarney on Saturday afternoon. So that'll be the main bulk of our conversation with Eamon and with Stephen. From 8:30, Barry Walsh is going to join us to talk all things Cork hurling. Of course, there's an under-20 decider this weekend. He would have played a little bit of under-20s hurling with Cork this season as well. But by now he is the senior hurler for Cork. Will obviously be playing in the Munster final next week. And then between 9 and 10, the football show is coming your way. We're going to get Dominic King on the line as we reflect on Seamus Coleman's amazing career at Everton Football Club. Our number is 0879 180 180. If you want to get us on WhatsApp, Will O'Callaghan is here. How are you, Will?
I'm Ryan. You're obviously burying the lead here. You don't start an intro and you go the second biggest story in Gaelic Games without telling us what the top one is.
Well, I mean, everybody knows what the top one is. Evening, Arthur O'Dea.
What's crack?
I don't know where it's buried on your script. You've got reams and reams of paper here and I don't see Sean Fitzgerald joining Love Island anywhere here, Will O'Callaghan.
Far too far down for your taste, I think.
Page 404.
Yeah, there you go.
This is it. A star is born. I mean, Maura Higgins looking over her shoulder as this next behemoth of international celebrity is about to take her crown as, Ireland's most famous reality TV star.
Greg O'Shea, who won the competition, not even getting a mention. Yeah.
Where did that get him? Actually got him quite far, to be fair, and he's having a very, very successful life. But Sean Fitzgerald is coming for both of them, and this is his time to shine.
I assume that's Sean Fitzgerald's plan in the grander scheme of things, whereby, obviously, it come for a professional career with the Seventh Circuit and Greg O'Shea, he basically transitioned straight into the media game straight afterwards. You would think that Fitzgerald probably wants to do exactly the same. I mean, obviously, he's going to get a bit of coin for going on the show itself and the notoriety of being on Love Island. And who knows, maybe he does actually want to find love when he's there.
Yeah.
But
maybe it's sincere.
Yeah. You know, in a non-cynical way, in the way that Arthur, of course, would not be cynical about this in any way. I assume he's thinking about life even after Gaelic football. He's still quite young, though. He's still like 25, I think I was reading earlier today.
25.
You're not even going in there too old, though.
No, one of those weirdos. He's average age.
One of those weirdos.
He's average age in the villa, as they say. It's a fascinating one. Like, I think, you mean, like, to get to this point, I presume you've had to fight off so many people to actually get to the starting line in a competition like this. So that in itself is a worthy achievement. But I love how the sports aspect of his life is right in the middle of everything that he's been saying. So I didn't actually see this, but I'm just reading online that there's like a Q&A with him on their Instagram, on the Love Island Instagram. And he was asked some very basic Love Island questions. He said his type on paper is female. He dislikes cockiness and a dry personality. And then he said, I'm here for love, but also for drama. I won't be getting involved in it. I might be mixing it, he said. And then as for his relationship strategy, he said, play forward. And if it's not on, pass it back and go forward again. Eventually, you'll get a goal. And then he was asked whether he's been a World Cup winner or knocked out in the first round in his love life. And he answered, definitely not knocked out. A World Cup winner and player at a tournament. Continuing that if he sees someone he likes, I'm going for it and nothing's going to stop me. I wonder what episode is he going to explain the role of the FRC in transforming the sport that he plays.
I was thinking when you said that, we could have had a competition here where it was, is this from his Instagram questionnaire about Love Island, or is it him talking about the new rules when you say, hey, you take your time, you recycle and you take your shot. Yeah.
What are the transferable skills here from fullback to Love Island heartthrob, I wonder?
Maybe he's one of the few that are unhappy with it.
The new rules?
Yeah, maybe he doesn't like the game.
That comes out and, you know, the All-Star Selection Committee and the other GAA correspondents just have the pitchforks out for Sean Fitzgerald because he's pulled somebody aside for a chat and he's kind of revealed to her that he absolutely despises the way football goes.
I wonder how far down the track he was with this application when he played against Leitrim in the championship a few weeks ago.
Massively, I'd imagine.
Because, like, presumably, you know, you tell Paul Joyce at some point, yeah, I'm going to be on the telly, season's gone, see ya. Because he hardly comes back in after all this.
I don't know how long it lasts.
That's a good question.
Like, how long it lasts depends on how he does in the competition.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. I suppose it's effectively live, isn't it? Like, they're a day or two back, I guess.
I think so.
Is there any sort of quarantining period afterwards where you got to be out of the limelight? Can you come right back? Like, is it like most people, I suppose, aren't going to be open up to the possibility of media questioning in their day to day life, I guess, whereas he'd be very front and centre.
Yeah, exactly. Or like, if he goes all the way, I suspect that he would not be returning to normal life anytime soon. But if he goes out early, you never know.
It is a peculiarly modern phenomenon, isn't it? It really is a situation without much precedent.
Yeah, like you hear about players
quite
in the 70s and 80s who, like, you know, went to America and then they would make a decision to come back mid-season or whatever else and maybe end up being, you know, parachuted onto the panel or brought in for a game. I can't imagine the idea that midweek he gets eliminated on a Wednesday in the Villa and he's available for a round three game in the All-Ireland Championship the next week. Unlikely.
It is.
I presume when he went to Joyce, it was basically, look, the summer's out. Let's see what happens from here.
We're watching this now, though, aren't we?
At least until he goes out.
Like, you've got to keep tabs on Sean Fitzgerald.
Yeah, I'd be keen to see what he's up to. I feel like it'll be a regular enough topic of conversation here. Albeit 24 hours later, generally, I suppose, by the time we'll get to see it. But yeah, I guess so. It is so strange. It's fair play to him. Because it's by far not the easier choice. It is not the easy road he's taken here. I know, like, the glamour of and everything else, and if he's into that, that'll be great. But, like, he's got to have faced an awful lot of kind of as well blowback and sort of faceless criticism and everything. Like, it cannot have been straightforward.
I'd say you face a lot of faceless criticism when you're an intercounty player anyway, because he's about to thrust himself into this international limelight.
Yeah.
And what's then the sort of attention he's going to get internationally is not actually going to be the faceless criticism that he'll get locally. Like, the most poisonous stuff that he'll receive is the sort of local Irish begrudgery now. Whereas to the British audience and to a large swathe of Irish viewers as well, he's just Sean from Love Island.
It's from the
GAA community, to use that phrase. That's where he's going to get all his blowback, I would imagine, in the short term.
Do you mean any different if he'd gone on Traders or something? There's nothing particularly interesting about this one. Because it is, I'm sure a lot of people only have a half idea of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
On Traders, you've got to expose yourself as a liar and
or not.
As a sly master of deception.
You're playing a role, is what you'd say in the Traders. You're
playing a role. Whereas this is, you just got to be yourself. Let love come to you.
Let love
I think there's a great innocence to it all.
It is definitely, it'll be interesting.
It's a good point, like, whether you can ever go back teaching. You're going into two different cohorts who are going to give you stick about this.
Yeah.
Children and other players on the pitch if you play Gaelic games again.
I think he'll be fine. I think he can have his life back pretty easily, no matter what happens.
He'll brush it all off, but I'd say his teaching days are probably over.
I mean this in the best way possible, that would probably be a good sign because it means that he's gone on to do something extraordinary on the back of this all. Will, you are starting tonight though with what is admittedly a bigger story, I think, maybe to a sports audience, and that is the Jim McGuinness situation.
Yeah, so Donegal boss Jim McGuinness and the Kerry forward David Clifford both avoiding punishment following the All-Ireland Championship clash between Kerry and Donegal in the weekend just gone by. It has been reported today that the CCCC have ruled that all incidents were dealt with at the time by the referee Sean Herson on the field. Despite this, both counties are expected to be fined over the halftime melee, but no individual punishments.
Okay, so the key difference between this and the Ger Brennan situation was that Brennan was reprimanded in the moment. He was given a red card during the game against Galway, and that, I guess, gives the CCCC a bit of a get out here. There's also maybe the possibility, and I'm just kind of speculating here, that maybe there's an element of flimsiness about banning McGuinness for this, and that they could maybe foresee an appeal coming. And they were maybe thinking two steps ahead. How do we actually hold this down if they're going to appeal the ban that we give him? I don't know, but maybe that's what they were looking at when they decided not to take action.
Yeah, I dare not consider what goes into these decisions. I think at the end, I don't know about you, like, I'm in a scenario whereby if justice is carried to letter of the law and then we're missing out on McGuinness and Clifford, I'd not I'd rather not live in that environment. I'm quite happier that it's not mutually assured destruction here and they're both there and we'll just continue on.
Yeah, whatever with the methodology, I think the fact that a big argument around this was, well, Ger Brennan got a ban, so that means that Jim McGuinness must be getting a ban. That's not good justice because someone else received a lengthy suspension that you end up handing out suspensions all over the place. And I'm sure there was probably a certain consideration within that committee that they thought, well, whatever at one case, you set a major precedent if you end up handing out two lengthy bans in a very short period of time, and every manager then who ends up in that situation is going to get suspended, or a player if they end up in a situation like this. So maybe there's a certain amount of that. Obviously, look, I haven't seen Sean Hurson's report, so I don't know what's actually in it. And that's probably crucial. We always say you have to wait for the referee's report to come in to see what detail is there. I can only assume that there is some mention of what happened at halftime within that. And the detail of that's going to decide who gets fined, what happens in the back of this. But again, a bit like Arthur, I don't think I particularly wanted to see, you know, the best footballer in the country being suspended for a lengthy period of time or for Donegal to be without McGuinness.
That also, well, I agree with you, is bad justice. That if you're saying, you know, we don't want Jim McGuinness or David Clifford to not be involved, therefore we are going to make a decision based on who they are.
By the way, if it was a lesser player, ban away.
If it's funny you mention that, because that's the first time I heard it mentioned. If the Brennan thing hadn't happened, would we have talked about this at all? Do you think anyone would be so aware of it? Is it enough in the general kind of mind frame?
I don't think so.
They definitely wouldn't be talking about 12-week suspension.
Yeah.
It's purely because it happened there. Yeah, people think if this happened to Ger Brennan, that has to be the same thing has to happen again.
Like even being there live and seeing it happen in front of me, first thing I thought, Ger Brennan. Like it's very weird thing to see occur on a pitch. But you're certainly not thinking 12-week ban. You're thinking, God, I mean, that's pretty poor behaviour. But you're kind of thinking, let everybody just move on.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the common sense reaction to this, and common sense has prevailed here, even if maybe the rule book that was applied to Ger Brennan is a little bit different.
Am I also wrong in thinking that actually I thought Ger Brennan's suspension was a bit too long?
Yeah.
12, I'm wrong. Yeah. 12 weeks is a long time.
It's an outrageous amount of time. Yeah.
In a condensed intercounty season.
Yeah. Like when you consider that people oftentimes, because of these time-based bans as well, can get involved in like hitting a referee or, you know, players pushing a referee or whatever else, and they could get half a year and end up serving very little of that time in a practical sense. And someone gets 12 weeks in the middle of championship for taking an earpiece out of another mentor's ear in the middle of a kind of a coming together.
Again, another fairly modern phenomenon.
Yeah, much
precedent.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's and also, I think at the time, we probably have to realise that when Ger Brennan got that ban, it was a big talking point, but almost the length of Brennan's ban has become a bigger talking point this week than the week the punishment was actually handed out. Maybe because it was Dublin, everybody was kind of like happy to be like, ah,
I think so.
Sure, look, they've had it their way for long enough where nobody's going to actually stand up and defend him. That wasn't literally the case. I realised there were people who put their head above the parapet and said this is actually bizarre that he was given a 12-week ban, but I think that's just been crystallised this week. Let's move on to the football then, Will, because Nathan Collins was out speaking ahead of Ireland's doubleheader this week.
Yeah, it was. It was press conference for him ahead of the game against Qatar, picking up on Thursday. It obviously reflected what was happening in the city in Dublin at the same time as well, including the Social Democrats' newest TD, Daniel Ennis, who doesn't believe that Ireland's matches against Israel in the Nations League this autumn should go ahead. Ennis, who played, of course, in the League of Ireland for Bowes, Shelburne and Bray Wanderers, was elected the weekend just gone by in the Dublin Central by-election. He was speaking as protests took place outside the Dáil earlier, calling on the FAI to boycott the fixtures in September and October. Nathan Collins is speaking roughly at the same time, and the Ireland captain says that they have to respect the FAI's decision to fulfil the fixtures and also the government's reasoning about why they have to take place as well. But he says that no players in the squad will be discouraged from taking any individual stand.
What we speak about is hard to say because you need the whole group together, you know what I mean? But if individuals wanted to take a stand, we're not going to stand against it. We're not going to hold them back. You know what I mean? They're entitled to their own opinions, and if they're very strong about that, you know, then it's nothing we can stop them about.
It would be interesting to see if there were individual opinions that actually come to the surface here around these fixtures. We know what the FAI's rationale is for this, and they've been on the record saying it's a competitive punishment that they were afraid of, which I think fair enough. To them for saying that, but I don't think it washes with a lot of people. I think it's a pretty flimsy argument upon which to base your opinion that you should be playing Israel, the idea that you're going to get relegated to League C, let's say, in the Nations League. I think that certainly has failed to turn people's opinions anywhere in the country. But on a government level, maybe there's a different view of this. Like you mentioned there in your intro that they have their reasons, the FAI have their reasons, and I don't think that's been that's washed with the public here either. I think by and large the FAI and the government have failed to convince the public that these games should be happening.
I think the match going public particularly, I mean, there was a poll that came out pretty much a couple of weeks after the draw had been made, which was made by season ticket holders for the Republic of Ireland who go home and away and who put quite a bit of money into the FAI over the course of the tickets that they purchased and the season tickets and the 10-year tickets and all that. And they were largely against the idea of playing the fixtures. And they're people who would be directly impacted by any sanctions that could come from UEFA, both in terms of the Nations League. And I think the FAI, understandably, don't want to put UEFA's nose out of joint when the hosting of the European Championships are coming round so closely in 2028 as well. And also, the same as Basketball Ireland, the fear would be there that there could be financial sanctions that could come in as part of this as well, which the FAI can obviously ill afford. But it then comes down to a practical decision about whether you want to take that hit and potentially take quite a heavy hit and do it for moral reasons, or whether you decide that you're kind of going to go along with it. I'd be very surprised. You know, Nathan Collins is saying there that individuals could take a stand. I think the squad have to do collectively. It has to be a case of they either go out and play the game or, you know, they all decide not to play. And I would think that they will go out and play the two fixtures and they will say, look, this is football. We're employed to go and play for the national team and we're going to go out and fulfil the fixtures. I'd be very surprised if anyone was to decide to be an objector and to not take part in those two fixtures in the autumn.
Yeah, because when it comes to that week when the draw was done, what was it, back in February? Mm. And you had Micheál Martin coming out fairly forthright in terms of this game going ahead. Like, open to correction here, but I don't really remember there being like a strong reason for it. It was a very staunch, oh, these games are happening, this game should happen, rather than any justification for why this needs to happen. So I'm not sure if the government have actually been queried on that, you know, when it comes to the very valid questions around playing these fixtures, because the FAI have been queried on this. They've given their reasons, their sporting reasons, but the government, when questioned about it, I'm not sure they've actually been put on the back foot with regards to why these games absolutely need to happen. I know Simon Harris was queried about RTE showing these games, and he made the point that, you know, the state broadcaster needs to show the public their soccer team in international action and all that. So this story isn't done. It'll be interesting to hear what the rest of Nathan Collins' teammates say about this as the week develops. Are you sticking with soccer next, Will?
Yeah, well, former Ireland international Noel Hunt has been confirmed as well as one of the new five full-time international lead coaches, as they've been called by the FAI. The ex-Reading coach will join Chelsea Noonan, John Cotter, Keith O'Halloran and James Scott in the association's new coaching structure, which they've announced today.
Now then, we have some injury news ahead of the Munster final in hurling.
Yeah, Cork manager Ben O'Connor has confirmed his captain Dara Fitzgibbon will be missing the Munster hurling final against Limerick on Sunday week. Fitzgibbon is still recovering following surgery to remove his appendix, which took place earlier this month. Rob Downey's ankle will be assessed again later this week after he made his comeback in Sunday's win against Clare. Niall O'Leary is recovering from a shoulder extension that he picked up in that game, and Robbie O'Flynn is close to returning after a hamstring issue. He's expected to train later this week. Ben O'Connor was pleased by the hunger shown by his team in that 16-point win against Clare.
Fellas with 73 and 74 minutes gone, they were still chasing back 15, 60 yards just to get a hook or turn the fellow over. So look, that's what we'll be more happy with. The scores are, you know, that's the finishing part of it, but we like to see the work that's done before we get them.
Your defensive effort as well from the two lines as well, Damien Callan on the edge of the square, guy that's had to come in with injuries. You've said next man up always as the season has progressed, but I think he exemplified that when an opportunity has arisen for him to put his stake in that jersey, he's done so, and he's just one example.
Yeah, I suppose, look, Damien was a prime candidate. He was told at the start of the year that he was probably cover, and he took it on the chin. He said, yeah, he said, that's fine, I'll train away hard, and if I'm needed, I'll be ready. And as it turned out, Damien was needed, and he hasn't been found wanting in any of the games he played so far. And I'm sure that if he gets his chance next day, he'll be champion to beat to go again.
Speaking of the next day, it's Limerick again. From a manager's point of view, from a management team's point of view and planning, you've played each other so often, they know you as well as you know them, Ben. How, I suppose, from what I'm asking is, how difficult is it, or is it difficult to prepare for a game like this, to come up with something new, or you know what you're getting into and so do they? Like, is it difficult because you know each other so well at this stage?
I suppose we're very familiar at this stage, but I suppose, look, they'll be working a few bits and we'll be working a few bits, and look, it's whoever can execute him the best. But look, it's where we want to be, it's where they want to be. We wanted to be in the Munster final, I'm sure if you go down last team, they wanted to be in the Munster final as well. Like, so like, if we have to play them 10 times in the year, there's going to be 10 massive games. Like, but our boys are looking forward to it, and hopefully hopefully we'll give a big performance.
Okay, we got to take a break, but we'll have more from Will. Welcome back. Will O'Callaghan has today's sports news for you. And we've got a new interesting fan when it comes to Gaelic games.
Yeah, Jim Furyk, the American Ryder Cup captain, says he has a GAA Plus subscription. Says he's going to be supporting Limerick in that final against Cork in a couple of weeks' time. He was a guest of JP McManus to watch the Treaty stick 5 goals past Tipperary at the Gaelic grounds on Sunday afternoon. He travelled to the 2027 Ryder Cup venue at Adair Manor yesterday before getting in a helicopter and going to the race meeting at Ballinrobe. He's been speaking to Dave Keena about his first time attending a hurling game.
I actually enjoyed it. I watched a little bit. I downloaded GAA on my phone a few weeks ago, started watching some matches, tried to get a little familiar with the Limerick players. I know that's JP's favorite team, so got a chance to go to the game, and they call it the fastest sport on the field, and they are not lying. I was mesmerized. The athletic ability, the hand-eye coordination, physicality. I mean, the sport really wraps up a lot of things in one, and I'm a fan now. I really enjoy it, and I know they've got Cork in a couple weeks, and I told the team I'm definitely watching. I'm gonna stream it from home and take it in. But amazing sport.
And how's the golf course looking for next year?
Adair Manor looks spectacular. I think Tom Fazio did an amazing job. But more important, the venue. I think just a beautiful, pretty golf course. It's got a lot of space out there for fans, and I'm excited. It's always in pristine condition, so I think it's going to be a great venue. It's going to show off great for the Ryder Cup, and who wouldn't want to stay at Adair Manor? So the team's going to be comfortable for the week.
Nothing warms the cockles more than hearing a famous American saying that your sport is good. Thank you, Jim, for giving us a great sense of national endorsement there. We have some rugby news, and bad news, in fact, for Leinster.
Yeah, well, Leinster confirmed Paddy McCarthy out for the rest of the season. The prop suffered a foot injury in Saturday's defeat to Bordeaux in the Investec Champions Cup final. We all kind of suspected when he went off it was the foot he had injured before going into the final, but it wasn't actually the foot that had kept him out for a few months. It was the other foot that he injured. Joshua Kenny, Brian Deeney, both back in contention to feature against the Lions in the URC playoffs this coming weekend. Andrew Porter was speaking to our own Dara Smith-Nocton this afternoon, and he says the Blues need to move on quickly from their latest Champions Cup final defeat.
Our only criticism that really matters is from inside here, and we're together as a group, and we're learning from the game. I know it's a bit unfortunate to have to say you take your learnings from it, but that's what we're doing. We're reviewing today and then turn the page into this weekend.
You were part of the squad back in 2018 that won in Bilbao, but you're also unfortunately part of the teams that have lost out in the finals and semi-finals since. Has it become annoying or very difficult at this point that there's been so many disappointments back to back? How would you look at it?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's always disappointing when you've got so far and you come up short in the end, but you're doing exactly what you want to be in that final position at the end of the season. And look, we did great to get ourselves to that point. It's just, you come up against teams and, like, it's incredibly tough. The margins, it's small, the margins. It's obviously incredibly difficult because that's what you're chasing. You're chasing silverware. As, like, from us, we obviously set our standards very high in here. But, it's incredibly tough to take the weekend and obviously the last few years. But it's, like, we're the ones in the final. We've got to that point. So a lot of people could say a lot about criticism, but we're still with the team that's getting there.
Now then, we have news as well from Munster.
Yep, they're obviously going to South Africa this week, and Clayton McMillan says he's likely to remain in charge of the province next year, but he's looking for assurances that everyone in Munster is heading in the same direction. Munster have launched a review into their governance, leadership, culture and communication structures, they say, after the failed appointment of Roger Randall, a move that McMillan had backed. He says it always was his intention to be in charge for the 2027 campaign, which is the last year of his contract.
We might skip on to today's tennis news, and there was a shock at Roland Garros.
Yeah, big one. The men succeeds. Daniel Medvedev, former world number one, has been knocked out of the French Open in the first round. He was shocked this afternoon by the Australian wildcard Adam Walton in four sets in the end. So a big disappointment for Medvedev, who's also a decent player on clay, but out in round one. Cameron Norrie was forced to retire from his match due to a rib injury. In the women's draw, a little bit more comfortable for the seeds. The women's number one, Arina Sabalenka, and the defending champion Coco Gauff, all safely into round two, winning their matches in straight sets. Jannik Sinner is due out on course in a few minutes, or out on course on court even in a few minutes' time.
And then finally, just on Lionel Messi.
Yeah, looks like he's going to be fit for the start of the World Cup. The 2022 winning captain went off with a suspected hamstring injury in Inter Miami's win against Philadelphia Union last weekend, but the MLS club put out a statement this afternoon saying the injury is not as bad as first feared, and the Argentina star had been asked to be subbed, and that was due to muscle fatigue as opposed to a tear.
Will O'Callaghan, thank you very much for tonight's news round. Our number is 0879 180 180. You can get us on WhatsApp.
The News Round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tildenafil.
Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.